Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
It's good to be in God's house this morning, amen. Thankful for the opportunity. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 this morning, the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. My bride and I and Lydia, we are from Peoria, Illinois area, and we are excited to be up here in the Green Bay area for the first time and looking forward to meeting you if we haven't done so already. But thank you to everyone for your kind and welcoming spirit. It certainly is a blessing to be amongst friends, and I thank you for giving your attention to the Word of God, though this may be the first time that you've had the opportunity to be around us. We certainly appreciate it. I am nothing, but I serve a God who is everything. And the Bible says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so if you'd let me for just a little while, I would like to lead you to our God and show you Him in the Scriptures. The book of 2 Kings chapter 6, and I want you to notice verse number 15, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God, who is Elisha, when he was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And as we look at verse 17, we find our title, "Lord, Open His Eyes." And I don't know who it is that you are praying for this morning. Maybe it is a situation in your own life where you can't see very well. But more than likely, it's somebody in your life that you are desiring God to open their eyes. I want you to consider the fact that this prayer was prayed and God did something that only God could do to open the eyes of someone. So as we consider, "Lord, open his eyes," let's pray together that the Lord would open our eyes, open their eyes, and would reveal himself, that it would be known unto us who our God is in such a time as this. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, and as we have already prayed that you would stir us, that you'd send revival, we look at this passage and we realize that there is a truth to gather, that you are a God who desires to be revealed. I pray that you would open our eyes and allow us to behold wondrous things this morning out of your word. We pray for those in our life that we are asking you to get a hold of their attention, that you would open their eyes. And maybe they're in our presence today, maybe they're far from us, but I pray that you would show them yourself, and that through your word, you would magnify your name in their life, and may there be no turning back because they have seen the risen Lord. We ask you to open our eyes now, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people prayed and said, amen. You know, as I consider this particular passage, I consider that some people can see pretty well spiritually, but I also realize that there are some who cannot see very well at all spiritually. In this passage, it was Elisha that could see really well. I mean, he understood some things about God that his servant didn't. His servant was with Elisha. His servant has seen many things already that God has done through Elisha. But yet the servant still struggled to have an understanding like his master had. And so we realize today that there might be some differences in spiritual levels that some people can see a little bit better than others spiritually. When we think about our eyesight, we think about how some people can see well physically and other people can't see very well at all physically. Did you know there is a lady in history, a lady that you sing her words over and over again in the hymnal? Her name is Fanny Crosby. And as a young child, I dare say that even though she couldn't see physically at all, she could see pretty well spiritually. When she was only 6 weeks old, she developed a minor eye inflammation, and the doctor's careless treatment of this six-week-old baby left her blind. She would later say, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind my entire life, and I thank God for this dispensation." The doctor who destroyed Fanny's sight could never forgive himself, and he moved far from the area. But Fanny Crosby held no ill will against him, and she said, "If I could meet him now, I would say thank you, thank you, thank you over and over again for making me blind." In fact, she claimed that if she could have her sight restored, that she would not attempt it. She felt that God's blindness was a gift to her so that she could write songs for his glory. "I could not have written the thousands of hymns," she said, "if I had been hindered by all the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful things that would have been presented to my notice." She wrote her first poem when she was 8 years old. Here it is. "Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot or I won't." Autumn, could you imagine a young lady your age writing a poem just like that? And with all of this spiritual sight, she couldn't see physically, but she could see pretty well spiritually. And I dare say that in our lives, God has given us some people who can see pretty well spiritually, and we need to have our eyes opened to the very God that they understand, the very God that they see. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, God has placed some people into your life very mercifully and graciously to show you Christ, that your eyes may be open and eternally you can know his life that he wants to give to you. He wants to save your soul. Or maybe you're in here today and you are a servant of sort and you are busy maybe in the work of the ministry, but yet you just don't see some things the way some of your spiritual leaders see them. And the great prayer is that today your eyes would be opened up. Today our great prayer is that the Lord would open the eyes of those who can't see clearly for him, that their life may be changed for his glory. Notice this, point number one, the great advice. The great advice. Have you ever received some advice from somebody that changes everything? Old Chinese proverb, man who runs behind car gets exhausted. Man who runs in front of car gets tired. Okay, some humorous, but you know, good advice. But did you know that in the scriptures, here is a war story where some great advice was given that changed everything for the one that would listen to it? So as we look at the great advice, notice verse number 8 and see a military might devising a plan. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.'" Uh-oh, here it is again. We are reminded that Israel has enemies in this life. And I am reminded that you and I have enemies as well. We could pin it down a little more specifically to understand that we have the enemy of the devil, we have the enemy of the philosophy of the world, and the enemy of the flesh with inside of us, let alone the fact that there are physical enemies that can be raised up against children of God as well. Israel had a real enemy, and this enemy did not like the fact that Israel was in existence. And as Israel was going about their business, the enemy says, you know what? We don't like Israel. Let's set up an ambush. Hey, servants, where should we put our ambush? Okay, Israel's going to go this way. Let's set up our troops. Let's surprise them. Let's take them off guard and let's obliterate them. Let's remove them from the face of the earth, because there was just something about the enemies of Israel and the great enemy, the devil, wanted by removing Israel from off of this earth. And all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this desire to remove Israel, there is a shining light for Israel. There is a messenger that delivers some great advice. In verse number 9, the man of God, Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Now, have you ever, as a parent or as a spiritual leader, been in the position where you saw somebody that was about to make a horrible mistake? And you try to do everything in your power to make sure that they don't make this mistake. And here is Elisha. He has been clued in by his God that there is an ambushment set up by the Syrians. And so he's like, I cannot let myself be idle in this message. And he takes the message, and the message is delivered to the king of Israel, the one who can make a decision to help save life in his own people. So if you've been in that spot where you see a decision that's about to be made, and you send out a message and you say, don't go that way. This is Elisha in the passage. This is the man that has a heart for his people. Don't make that decision. Don't go that way. But he could not force them to choose right. He could just deliver the message. Maybe you're the one in here today who has maybe a parental authority in your life. Maybe a pastoral authority in your life. Maybe a loving friend in your life that sees the direction that you are going, and they give you a message that says, beware, a warning message, don't go this way. Now, I was talking with Miss Nancy earlier about Alaska, and we have traveled up there a couple different times from Peoria to Palmer, Alaska, Peoria, Illinois, Palmer, Alaska, 62 hours driving straight from Peoria, Illinois to Palmer, Alaska. You could take a good 6 days, 10 hours plus each day, just to get to her parents' house. And as you get within 200 miles of the Canadian-Alaskan border, there's this place called Destruction Bay, and rightly named for so many reasons. But the road is horrible. If there are engineers in the house this morning, they need help. There's just something that they cannot figure out, and I don't blame them. They don't know how to work a road and work the materials so that it doesn't get messed up every single year with the permafrost and the moving of the ground that far north. Therefore, when you get 200 miles to the border, the roads are horrible. There are dips and there are snaking ruts that are on these roads unless they've already removed the pavement. And as you're driving your vehicle, man, insurance makes a lot of money off of fifth wheels and campers that snap axles on these ruts. There are not enough signs in the world to put up throughout these miles of upon miles of road that says, beware, there are dips in the road. But all you need is one sign. All you need is a careful observation. All you need is to realize this road isn't good. I need to slow down. There have been times I wish there were signs up as I bottom out my father-in-law's Subaru. That is not a good thing to do, you know? So as you consider messages in your life, as you consider messengers in your life, they may tell you to do something or you should do something that you don't exactly want to do. I don't want to slow down right now. I got a time to make to get to where I'm going. But if you don't slow down, you're going to mess up your vehicle. And child of God, you ought to be thankful today that God has given you messengers in your life who care enough about you to say the road is out ahead. There's a dip in the road that you can't face unless you make the wise choice. And here in verse number 9, the man of God sent unto the king of Israel. He tells the king, and here's the problem. Sometimes we are such a king in our own life that I'll do what I want to. I'll make whatever decision I please. I'll go in whatever direction I want to. Mom and dad, you can't tell me what to do. You can't give me enough messages in the Bible to make me make the right choice, you may say. But I want to remind you that here is a king who made the right decision to see if what the man of God said was truth. Can I remind you, there's a very big and important reason why the Bible is in your lap today. So you just don't follow a preacher blindly, but you can look into the scriptures to see if these things are so. Notice what happened in verse number 10. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Do you know what that means? With the decision and the discernment of the king to say, you know what, there's something that intrigues me about what the man of God says. I realize if what he is saying is true, if I take my troops this way, we are going to lose a lot of life. So let's figure this out. Let's see if this is reality. Let's see if this is truth. And he searched it out and he found out it was truth. And the Bible says he saved himself there not once nor twice, meaning he did not have to face any loss of life at all or repeated over again. Man, can I tell you, there were times in my life where I wanted to do some things that I knew I should not have done. But I had voices in my life who kept telling me, don't do this. Don't go that direction. Don't reveal this thing in your life. If you allow this thing in, it'll tear you up. Man, I understand that I am no better than anyone else, but I am so thankful that I have never had to reap the repercussions of being a drunkard. I'm so thankful that I haven't had to save myself there once nor twice. I have been able to avoid the repercussions of what being drunk brings in my life. You could go in the same direction with drugs. You can go in the same directions with any immoral act. You can understand there is a purity and there is an innocency to making the right choice the first time when the messenger comes into your life. Listen, young people, you don't have to try it to see if it works for you. If it is sinful, if it is wrong before God, we need to listen to the messenger. Even if mom and dad messed up and went in the direction they're telling you not to go, do not allow yourself to believe the lie that if they went through it and made it out okay, I can make a wrong decision and make it out okay. Sin is a scourge to many people. Sin brings death. Sin is always something that will never help you. It will never encourage you. It may be pleasurable for a season, but it will tear your life up. Yes, and there's an enemy that wants to trip you up. But as God has given you some great advice, you ought to say, I'm so thankful for the advice that's being given. That leads to point number two. Not just the great advice, number one, but point number two, the getting ahead. The getting ahead. Man, could you imagine how much of a relief Israel felt when they realized they missed out on an ambush? Thank you, man of God, for delivering the message that changed my life. And in likeness and in parallel, when you realize that a messenger delivered salvation's message to you and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you went from the jailer thrusting Paul into the innermost prison to then crying out, Sir, what must I do to be saved? And now you have a respect for the message. And now you have a respect for the messenger. But could you imagine? Oh, I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad I missed that attack. But guess what? Life is still happening. And reality is still very much going on. The enemy is not off the scene, though it's off the particular situation. The enemy is rather ticked that they missed you in the last attempt to attack your life. And just because you've had one little victory doesn't mean that you're going to rest safely for the rest of your life. It's not time to let your guard down. It is time to gear up and prepare, because the enemy wants to attack again. Notice what it says in verse number 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called for his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? You know what he was asking for in our modern day vernacular? There is a mole in my camp. Who is the mole? Which one of my servants is going over to Israel and telling the king of Israel what we're about to do? The king was sore troubled. Man, I can't sleep. How did we miss Israel? Why didn't they come this way? All of our intel was saying, this is going to be the best way to tear Israel apart. I can't believe that that didn't happen. What is going on? Who revealed my great plan? In verse number 12, one of his servants, the king of Syria's servants, said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Creepy, right? I mean, this is just kind of interesting. The servant in Syria addresses and says, O king, there's no mole. We're loyal, we're faithful, but here's what Israel has. Israel has this man, and this man has his ear to heaven, and the voice of heaven speaks to this ear, and this man knows the word of God. And as this man knows the word of God, that God has also told Elisha, the servant of the Lord, the man of God, has told him what you even speak in your bedchamber. And king, I know there's no modern day surveillance like they're going to have in 2021. I know there's no baby monitors to switch around and listen in to what's going on in your bedchamber. It is obviously a working of supernatural degree as to why Elisha knew what was going on with the enemy king, the king of Syria. And let me just stop right there and say, when somebody is on a totally different spiritual level, they will face spiritual attacks that nobody else faces until they get to that level. You ever heard the statement, new levels, new devils? Have you ever realized to whom much is given, much is required? As we look in the scriptures, we find out the servant is clueless to some things. The man of God has some things revealed unto him. As he is on a totally different spiritual level, something takes place. All of a sudden, there is this big bullseye that is placed on Elisha's back. All of a sudden, the attention is taken off of Israel, and it's placed on one man. Think about the degree of this. Look at what it says in verse number 13. And he, the king, said, Go and spy where he, Elisha, is, that I may send and fetch him. And behold, it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Now, as you look at this, I can't dogmatically say one way or the other, but here's what I know. the king of Syria did not want Elisha to interfere with his plans anymore. Either the king was wanting to take Elisha out of the picture, whether by jail or death, or the king of Syria said, if Israel has that kind of power in their armies, I want that kind of power in my army. I want to be able to know where to go, what to do, and how to do it. I don't know which way the king was thinking. Here's what I do know, though. There was a big bullseye. We need to go get Elisha. My focus is not Israel. My focus is now one man. My focus isn't the multitude. My focus is the one who has destroyed my plan. Please don't be baffled. Please don't be surprised when you take a step in the right direction that the enemy begins to perk up and the enemy begins to realize, I don't like where this is going and I need to stop it. Man, how many churches have taken a step in the right direction only to have the enemy wage a new level of war that they have never experienced before? But here's the reality. It doesn't matter what war is waged. We have an understanding that our God is greater than anything that can be formed against us. And as we consider the enemy's might and power, the enemy will never be greater than our God. Our God reigns. And as we consider the message of verse number 14, therefore he sent he thither horses and chariots and the great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now, there are times in relationships where one of you is stronger than the other one in the relationship, and sometimes it's vice versa, where the one that was strong is now weak, and God's gifted you with somebody to come alongside and help you and encourage you. As a pastor, I was thankful for that in my wife. I was thankful for the encouragement that several men in my church were to me in times when things became a little bleak and a little weak. But as I consider this particular passage, here is a man on a different spiritual level than his servant, and he comes to his man of God, and he says, this is what I've seen. Look at all these horses and look at all these chariots. What are we going to do? Have you ever been the one in the relationship that's like, how are we going to get through this? I mean, look at everything that's going on. How are we going to make it over this situation? I know sometimes in our relationship it's been that way. We waited 9 years for Lydia Grace to come. And there were just point after point of struggle. I mean, we go into church after church and they would be like, when are you guys going to have children? Are you guys going to have babies yet? And though they were very, you know, honest in what they were asking, the struggle is very real every single time that comes around. I mean, it's like we aren't doing anything to stop it. God just isn't given the green light that way yet. And every single, I mean, there's sometimes I would look, Rachel, this is what we need to do. And Rachel's like, no, I just need you to hold me right now. You know, sometimes we've got all the answers and we know what needs to be done, but we just need to be embraced and we just need to be held. And as I look at this particular passage, we realize that sometimes more than even the embrace of encouragement, we need what we need to realize about God right now. We need somebody who is going to tell us that God loves us. We need somebody who is going to challenge us to choose God, even in the midst of a very difficult time, and maybe even in the midst of a message that we don't exactly want to hear right now. I mean, look at this. Not only do you see the great advice, number one, in the getting ahead, but now you need the growing assurance, number three. The growing assurance. Look at verse number 16. And he answered. When a servant goes to his master, how shall we do? Verse 16, he, the master, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Okay, Elisha, I don't know what happened to you in the middle of the night, but obviously you are off your rocker just a little bit. Because when I stepped outside of the tent today and I looked around, all I saw were horses and chariots and the enemy all around us. Elisha, I don't understand it. Elisha, it doesn't make sense to me. And sometimes when somebody comes to you and says, so-and-so, this is the message from God, sometimes we don't fully understand it. And here the servant doesn't even comprehend what is going on, but Elisha gives a message. Notice what it says in verse 16. Fear not. That's the message of peace. Isn't that the message that we need in our day moving forward when there's so much fear mongering and so many things are pushing for us to be scared to death and left without God? Yeah, we are not together. We're like falling apart. We are scared to death. We are so fearful. Look at everything that surrounds us in 2021. How shall we do? And we need the message from God that says, peace, fear not. The Old Testament over and over again, fear not, fear thou not, fear not. Jesus, when he came onto the scene, fear not, peace I leave with thee, peace by peace. And then as we consider the message of peace that we are to feel and to experience today, it's the same message that Elisha is dealing with the servant. You can trust God. You can be at peace in the midst of fear. Then it says in verse 16, the growing assurance, fear not, for they that be with us. This is God's provision. God is providing they that be with us. Have you ever been in a situation before where you needed God to provide, but you didn't know how God was going to provide? I mean, years ago now, two years ago, 2018, the Lord led us to step away from the church that we've pastored, the church that Brother Summerdorf has been at a couple different times to preach revival, and he was just there this past September as well. The Lord led us away from that ministry to step into the traveling ministry by faith. And as we stepped into that ministry, for the first time in our lives, I mean, we were stepping away from a good income. We were stepping away from a beautiful house. We were stepping away from a blessed and beautiful ministry. The way that place was prospering and growing and how God was just being amazing in our situation. It was a very difficult thing to say yes to the Lord's step of faith. Then as we had some savings, if you know anything about Dave Ramsey's baby steps, we had saved our second emergency fund, which was like 3 months worth of finances to provide for times like this. And so we stepped out, and all of a sudden we're starting to have to use these finances. And for the first time in our lives, we realized it's one thing to save money. It's another thing to use the money in the savings, because you've got to use the money in the savings. That was about $10,000. We got into 3 months into it, and we don't have much left at all. And we are praying together for God's provision, and we're trusting God to provide meetings. And we go over to the mailbox, and we open up the mailbox, and there was a check from somebody that had no clue what we were going through, a check for $10,000 that completely refilled the fund again. And it was just like God was saying, I've got this. It's like God was saying, I'll provide for you. I mean, think about how that check came from such a long distance and how many times we worried in between when that check was written to when we possessed it in our hand. And think about the fact that God already knows what you're going through and he's already provided a way for your situation. You can trust him. We see his peace, we see his provision, and then in verse 16, we see his power. He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Wait a second, Elisha. I don't understand what it is you're talking about. They that be with us are more than they that be with him. He still wasn't getting it. So that led to point number 4 in our message today. God answers prayer. Okay, when you find yourself backed up in a situation where somebody doesn't see clearly, or when you aren't seeing things as God would have you to see them, you need to be reminded that God answers prayer. Look at what it says in verse number 17. And Elisha, what church? Prayed. I mean, it's just so simple. Elisha prayed. I was preaching in the Peoria area, and Sunday morning after church, somebody came up to me and said, I won't be here. I'm actually getting ready to drive to Alaska myself, but wanted to give you this. And it was an envelope. I didn't know. Sometimes it's a note. Sometimes it's a mission. Hey, I know somebody from your area. Can you go talk to them about Jesus Christ? Sometimes it's a financial gift. And so I received that gift into my hand, put it in my pocket. I talked to that man for a second. He went on his way. I forgot about the gift. I went on to preach that night. And later on that evening, I remembered somebody gave me something. But it's not in my pocket. Oh no. I got home. I'm looking in my pocket. Can't find it. Looking in the car, under the seats like you do, thinking maybe it slipped out. I don't know where this thing is. I've lost it. Where did it go? Here's the one thing we do know how to do. We do know how to pray, and the Bible invites us to prayer, and that a God who knows all things even knows about that little thing that was placed there. Justin, you don't know if it's a note, you don't know if it's a financial gift, you don't know what it is, but somebody thought enough to give it to you, and that's how I prayed. As we gathered together our family and prayed like we normally do, Lord, would you help us to be able to find that? Somebody gave us that, and we feel like I've been a bad steward over this. I've lost it, a little mishap. Would you help me to find it? That next day, we were on our way to the meeting, and as we normally do, we pray as we're driving, and so we're praying, and Lord, we added the prayer, Lord, I've lost it. I don't know, maybe it's somewhere at the church. Maybe it fell out. Would you please help us to find this, that somebody took some time and thought into giving to us. And so there I am, Monday night, revival meeting. I'm sitting there at the back door like I try to normally do. And as I was sitting at the back door, several steps that went down to the outside, a couple of the ushers came to me and said, hello, Brother Justin. Hey, we're getting ready to shut these double doors. Church is about to begin. Are you staying here? Are you coming in? I said, no, I'd love to stay just in case somebody else comes. I'd like to welcome them into the church. Okay, and so they closed the double doors. Then I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden my attention is drawn to the outside door. There's this man that kind of like very carefully creeps up to the doors. I could tell he wasn't looking to come in. He's just kind of peering in through the glass. And I go down the steps and I open the door and I say, hey, can I help you? Oh, I'm the neighbor from down the road here. And I was mowing my yard and I found this, and it's like torn almost in half with a $20 bill sticking out of it. He's like, and I found this and thought I should return it. I said to so-and-so, after I learned his name, I said, I was praying for this to take place. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I was praying that God would allow me to find this. Somebody gave me that earlier today, and I lost it. You, sir, are an answer to prayer. And I got a chance to talk with him a little bit more about the Lord. He wouldn't come in that night, but he was like very thankful. Hey, thank you, you know, I'm an answer to prayer, whatever that means. Thank you, you know. And I'm like, oh, and I go into the church. I'm like, church, God just answered one of my prayers. I know it's not that big to you, but it's really big to me. Can I remind you that God is a God who answers prayer? Look at what it says in verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And now with this prayer, as his eyes were opened, he had God's peace. He saw God's provision, and he knew God's power, all because of a prayer that Elisha lifted on behalf of his servant. I watched your video online that was made years ago, and a video that talked about how different prayers were answered for different people within this church, about the son of a lady that was saved. And it reminded me of a story at our church where all of a sudden on a Thursday, a lady comes in. She's facing addictions in her life, and she's just wanting to talk. And she was so appreciative. She said, I'll be out next Sunday. She came out next Sunday after expressing all those things that she was going through. through, and then her in-laws started coming to church. This lady's husband was in a bad way, and this lady's husband would want me to tell you his story. He would want me to say this, let him know alcohol had gotten me. Let him know drugs had gotten me. Let him know the bar scene had gotten me. This man was in a terrible way. The world was taking him down, and his wife was miserable. We started having Friday night Bible studies together, discipleship, moving through the Word of God and learning about the Lord. And several times, this sweet lady would walk in and say, Pastor, can we pray for my husband? And I remember one particular Friday evening, she walked into her in-law's house. We're about to have Bible study, and she said, Pastor, we can't find my husband. We don't know where he is at. We found his motorcycle at such and such bar, but we don't know where he is. And for 3 days, he was gone. I remember the following Sunday after he was found, he came into the church house. He was encouraged over several things that happened that day with the friendliness of the people, the message that was delivered. But he walked out of that place just as unsaved as he walked into that place. A couple weeks later, I remember him walking into church. The Lord had laid a strong salvation message on my heart. He didn't get saved that morning. But later that afternoon, that sweet lady, his wife, called me up and said, Pastor, I just got to call somebody. I got to lead my husband to the Lord this afternoon. She was so excited. She was crying. We thanked God together. We prayed together. That man started growing in the Lord. That man went on a couple different missions trips with me to Alaska. God turned his life around. He loved going into villages in Alaska and seeing how the drugs and alcohol were tearing people lives apart, and having such a heart, he says, Pastor, what can I do to help them? How can I minister to them all the way from here? And so we laid out a plan. Man, God changed his life. But somebody was praying, and God opened his eyes. How does this apply to the New Testament believer? Take your Bible and go with me real quick as we finish and look at 2 Peter chapter 1. You've got to see how the prayer, Lord, open his eyes. How blindness is something that is faced in our day. And maybe it's the question that goes like this. As you're finding 2 Peter, maybe you are saying, well, what about my child? I mean, it just seems like I know that they're saved. They have a profession of faith, but why aren't they as faithful as they should be? Why are they making some very horrible decisions? Why don't they see life like I see it? And I believe Peter gives us the answer through the Spirit of God. We look at 2 Peter chapter 1, notice verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. Then notice verse number 8. For if these things, you see it's iffy. If these things, what things? The virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, the charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are some people barren in the faith? Why are some people in that way that we question? Well, they have fire insurance. Where's the rest of it? They haven't added to their faith these things. But notice verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, what things? The virtue, the knowledge, the temperance, the patience, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, the charity. But he that lacketh these things is what, church? Blind. And notice this, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Peter's like, they need revival. They need their eyes to be opened up. They're making some decisions that they should not be making, some decisions that they know better. Believers can make some very pathetic decisions sometimes. But aren't you glad that when they make a pathetic decision, we can forgive them? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing knowing that we make mistakes? Isn't it a wonderful thing for me to understand that when I mess up, you forgive? And what a wonderful work of Christ that takes place in our lives when we understand that as we walk this life, we make mistakes, but God is the God who forgives, and we have opportunity to grow in the faith by adding this virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And when these things abound, we're not barren, we're not unfruitful, but if we lack these things, we are blind and we can't see afar off. So it reminds us that we take a step closer to God. It reminds us that sometimes we can't see very well. It reminds us that just like in the Old Testament, we might be that servant who needs our eyes opened that we can see. Let me ask you a question. Is your faith weak? God can heal it. God can fix it. God's provisions, do you need them? Oh, yes. He is a God who knoweth what you have need of before you ask him. And God's power, we want to see it in our day. We need this growing assurance. Lord, open our eyes. You have listened so well. But as we finish, who are you praying for today? What situation are you asking God to show himself real in? Is it your eyes that need to be opened? The eyes of somebody else? I'm so glad that my God is in the eye-opening business.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.